Before you answer that question, look at how you're living your life now. Are the decisions you currently make ones that drive comfort or challenge? Are you building your personal SUSE? I've had several conversations with people who are striving to reach a destination of comfort just to find out they've missed God's best for them. It's like spending your entire life climbing the ladder just to realize at the end of your life that your ladder was up against the wrong wall. God doesn't intend us to merely be comfortable, safe, protected, and coasting on autopilot. His dreams for us are far more than escaping pain. Maybe SUSE for you is a season of comfort, and sometimes that's okay. We all need a SUSE every now and then. But don't let SUSE become the norm. Don't dream about SUSE. Don't buy into SUSE's lies telling you to eat, drink, and be merry. Don't get to the end of your life just to realize that God had a huge plan for you, a dream for you, but you chose to remain comfortable. I'm not proud of what I'm about to say, but I must say it to give you context. If I'm honest with myself, for the longest time, I allowed the SUSE syndrome to capture my heart. When I heard the news of children dying of malnutrition in third world countries, I would nod my head with concern, entertain what it must have been like to witness the horrendous tragedy daily, say a quick prayer, and then go about my day checking email on my smartphone. When people used to tell me about the sex slave epidemic in our world today, I used to listen with one ear, but with the other ear, I would thank God that those weren't my daughters. When I would watch the evening news and see the homeless of our city, I used to think, man, it must be cold this time of year. I hope somebody helps them. Honesty hurts. Even reading back what I just typed is humbling. I was too busy focused on doing ministry for those closest to me that I neglected what God wanted to do through me for the world. I was selfish in my SUSE. That was until I was rocked by Nehemiah. This was a guy like me. He was a guy like you. And ladies, I'm sure he was like you too. He was going about his day, living in luxury, until one day he received some news that changed him forever. And my prayer is that this book will be your wake-up call. During the 2 years of writing this manuscript, I've been praying every day for God to rock you, shake you, move you, disturb you. I've been praying that God would do whatever it takes to get your attention. Put this book down if you want to remain the same. Don't read on if you want to remain in SUSE. But if you're tired of your spiritual status quo, then tie on your running shoes and let's go. I'm sorry, Mr. Ostrich. Ostriches get a bad rap. You've heard it said that they bury their heads in the sand when they see danger coming. Nope. Urban myth. Google it. Do you know who buries their head in the sand of life when confronted with the brutal facts of reality? We do. Blissful ignorance is not a spiritual gift. Walking around with your head in the sand will not change the world for your generation. You will never fulfill the destiny that God has designed you for unless you begin to know the brutal facts of reality. Your dream will always be a solution to a problem in the world. However, you'll never know what the problems are if you don't ask questions about them. Nehemiah chose to ask. His questions were simple. The Bible says it this way. I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1, verse 2. Nehemiah questioned his brother about two things. These two things may look simple on the outset, but are pregnant with implication. First, he asked about the people. He wanted to know about the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity. He was concerned about people. He recognized that people are primary on God's plan. Question: who are the people in your world that God has placed on your heart? It might be a certain condition of people. Homeless, spiritually lost, orphans, widows, singles, divorced, etc. Or it could be a certain demographic of people, elderly, singles, college students, international groups, etc. But who is God placing on the forefront of your mind? For me, ever since I became a Christ follower at the age of 16, this one thought has been burned onto my heart. to inspire leaders to reach their potential, and in doing so, I'll reach mine. These leaders are my people, and if you're reading these pages, I've been praying for you. You are my people too. I've been praying fervently that God would stir a manifesto in your mind and wake you up from your slumber. I've been praying that God will disturb you about something, anything. Don't be a sundial in the shade. Reach your potential. Change the world for your generation. Become a champion for Christ. Not only did Nehemiah ask questions about specific people, but he also questioned his brother concerning the city, Jerusalem. He wanted to know how the city was doing. How was the morale? How were the roads? How was the wall? Why did Nehemiah want to know about the wall? Well, remember, without fortified walls, the city was defenseless. Without defenses, God's prized city had remained in ruins for over a century. And that's where his temple stood. That's where sacrifices were made. And that's where the presence of Almighty God used to reside. Simply, Nehemiah asked this question: how can I practically help these people? How can I partner with God's agenda to leverage my God-given gifts and abilities to advance God's mission in my generation? Little did he know that on the other side of that question was a divine disturbance in the waiting. It was a coiled spring ready to be launched. It was the first building block for fulfilling a destiny of magnificent proportions.